Won't that be a glorious day? To the saints gathered in this place of worship, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed you in Christ with every spiritual blessing heaven has to offer. Let's pray. Lord, as we consider the emblems of your table, as we experience this Lord's Supper, the ordinance of humility, and this time together, may your Spirit speak to our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Some time ago, I was at a retreat. And at the end of the retreat, there was a communion service that was put together. It was at one of our Adventist camps, and I was surprised when we went to take part in the communion when just plain ordinary bread was being used. And I questioned to myself and wondered if maybe this was an afterthought to have the communion service at the retreat. And I chose not to take part, but secondly, I asked the person afterwards, and they said, well, we just didn't think it was all that important. And I said, what? We don't talk about the unleavened bread at the communion service very often. We've got a series that is talking about the meaning of the communion symbols. You may wonder, well, Pastor Gary, weren't you being a little bit rigid on that? Let me just share with you the meaning of the unleavened bread, and then you can make your decision. You see, the communion service comes from the Passover, and we read from the scripture that when the Passover was instituted, Moses told the Israelites that they were to take all the unleavened bread, not just from their pantry, not just from the table at which they were celebrating the communion, but they were to take it from their house for not just that day, but for 7 days. You see, yeast was considered to be a symbol of sin. It was used not just in the making of bread, but was used in the process of fermentation. Thus, it symbolized, according to New Unger's Bible Dictionary, that which causes disintegration and corruption, that which symbolizes evil and the energy of sin. To the Hebrew mind, whatever was in a decayed state suggested the idea of uncleanness and corruption. Therefore, this bread, which was looking forward to symbolizing Jesus' body and Jesus' death on the cross, this bread could not have that which symbolized sin, because Jesus' body, he was to be the perfect sacrifice, the lamb without spot or blemish, the lamb without any taint of sin or corruption. And so the bread we're going to be taking part in today is unleavened, because we have a Savior who was the perfect sacrifice, the one who knew no sin. When you think about unleavened bread, it's easy to just point out, well, what difference does it make now? We're this side of the cross, I suppose. And yet it means so much to me to know that the Savior I serve is the one who lived a perfect life. And the only sin he knew was the sin that you and I have done, because he became sin for us who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. It's interesting that when Jesus was talking to his disciples, he told them to avoid the leaven or false teachings and legalism of the scribes and Pharisees. Now, what is there about leaven that would be such an apt symbol of sin? Well, first of all, leaven is a very, very small thing, used in small amounts because there's a power in leaven. If you put a little leaven in a lump of dough, that dough will rise and become much bigger than it once was. Right? There's power in leaven. It can change the very characteristics of either the dough or the wine that it's used to ferment sometimes. Paul understood leaven as a symbol of sin and wickedness. Notice what he says in 1 Corinthians 5, verses 6 to 8. This is from the Today's English Version. It's not right for you to be proud. You know the saying, a little bit of yeast makes the whole batch of dough rise. You must remove the old yeast of sin so that you will be entirely pure. Then you will be like a new batch of dough without any yeast, as indeed I know you actually are. For our Passover festival is ready, now that Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us celebrate our Passover then, not with bread having the old yeast of sin and wickedness, but with the bread that has no yeast, the bread of purity and truth. The old yeast of sin and wickedness. That's why we use unleavened bread, because it symbolizes the one who had no sin and who was righteous and not wicked. You see, yeast is a symbol of the power of sin, but yeast is also an adequate symbol because just a little bit will permeate the entire loaf. It will touch every particle of that loaf, just as sin affects all that we are and all that we do. That's why Jesus, the perfect lamb, Jesus, the one whose body knew no sin, when we take part in this service today, we are saying that we recognize that we are sinners who need a Savior who is perfect. We are saying that we recognize that He took our sin so that we can take His righteousness. We are saying that we recognize the importance of the exchange of that which we are for that which He is. What is also interesting, apart from recognizing that yeast is a symbol of sin, is that Jesus took this thing that was a symbol of sin and He used it on one occasion for something else. When He was telling the parables in Matthew chapter 13, He told the parable of the kingdom. He talked about the parables of the kingdom, and those parables are about the growth of the kingdom. And in that, in chapter 13 and verse 33, Jesus said, Jesus told this parable, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. Now, why would Jesus talk about leaven as a symbol for the kingdom if leaven is a symbol of sin? And there are some commentators who say He's still talking about sin because sin still exists in the church. I don't think that's it. In fact, I know that's not it. Because here He's not talking about sin and righteousness. Here He's trying to use leaven as an example of what happens within the church and how the church shall grow. And what's interesting is it's been estimated that this batch of dough would feed 100 people. Those who experience the righteousness of Christ will long to share with others the good news of that gospel that provides us with righteousness, and we will long to give it to others so that others may experience that which we've experienced. And so Jesus uses the example that the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, not because of what the leaven does in terms of symbolizing sin, but as a symbol of the fact that growth will take place. It is interesting in Christ Object Lessons, pages 97 and 98, how Ellen White refers to this parable. As the leaven, when mingled with the meal, works from within outward, so it is by the renewing of the heart that the grace of God works to transform the life. No mere external change is sufficient to bring us into harmony with God. There are many who try to reform by correcting this or that bad habit, and they hope in this way to become Christians, but they are beginning in the wrong place. Our first work is with the heart. Notice transformation takes place with the grace of God working on our lives. A profession of faith and the possession of truth and soul are 2 different things. The mere knowledge of truth is not enough. We may possess this, but the tenor of our thoughts may not be changed. The heart must be converted and sanctified. The man who attempts to keep the commandments of God from a sense of obligation because he's required to do so will never enter into the joy of obedience. He does not obey. True obedience is the outworking of a principle within. It springs from the love of righteousness, the love of the law of God. The essence of all righteousness is loyalty to our Redeemer. I think when Jesus used this illustration of leaven, He was trying to get us to see that the kingdom of God happens from within, from the power of God's Spirit and His grace transforming us. And it's that which removes the sin from our lives. It's that which, if you allow me to use the analogy, it's that which allows us to take and include God's grace in all aspects of our lives, our entire household, so that God's grace empowers and removes the impurity from our lives. both in forgiveness of sin and transformation from sin. And it's for this reason that we have the Lord's Supper today, and that we use unleavened bread without yeast that does not symbolize sin, but reminds us of the purity of the life of Christ. It reminds us that we too have been called to live lives through the grace of God that will reflect His character and His image. And so this morning I invite you to remain and take part in the Lord's Supper today. Some of you may not be familiar with the practice of foot washing that Seventh-day Adventists do. It's from John chapter 13. And in it, it's a reminder that we are to serve each other. It's also a reminder that we need periodic cleansing. And if you choose not to take part in that, you remain here. There will be some music playing while you're here. But if you choose to take part, we're going to have two places. There's the fellowship. I mean, in the fellowship hall, there's a place for us to take part together. And then we will come back. When you come back, please remember there's markings set on the pew with the dots that will help kind of make the flow of giving out the emblems much easier for the deacons. I encourage you, don't stay away because you think that you're not good enough. The only reason we're good enough is because of what Jesus has done for us. In fact, this service reminds us that we need His salvation. We need His grace. So let's enter into this with a spirit of joyful gratitude for all that He's done for us and all that these emblems signify. I urge you today, focus on what Jesus has done for you when you take part in the communion service. We'll separate and return in just a few minutes to take part in the Lord's Supper.